The Australian Medical Association is seeking to ensure GPs are not forgotten in the federal government's plans to reset the trouble-plagued vaccine rollout. After talks with the Prime Minister today, the AMA president warned mass vaccination centres would need to be adequately staffed to ensure recipients are properly monitored for any adverse reactions to their injections. As Australia struggles to reset the rollout, there's more bad news about the spread of variants around the world and more pressure on drug companies to forget about profits and release their intellectual property for the global good. David Lipson reports.
The trouble-plagued start to the vaccine rollout hasn't blunted the Prime Minister's determination to finish it.
Australians want to see the job get done. I'm committed to getting the job done.
In Perth today, the PM held talks with the Australian Medical Association President, Dr. Omar Khorshid, who seemed keen to ensure GPs weren't forgotten in the rollout 2.0.
We have a great primary care system in Australia, general practice, thousands and thousands of practices that are doing vaccination all the time. We should be using them.
Scott Morrison says state-run mass vaccination centres will now play an important role in the vaccination sprint to year's end. The question is, who'll pay for the hubs and who'll staff them? Dr. Khorshid again.
We need to make sure there's enough medical and nursing staff at every facility so that in the very rare event that someone has a reaction, that they're able to be looked after. And that may mean bringing some GPs into the state-run vaccination centres.
We have to throw everything at it towards the end of the year when the vaccines arrive.
Epidemiologist Professor Fiona Russell is the group leader for Asia-Pacific Health Research at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute.
We may need to bring, you know, the army. The army are amazing with logistics. The army and, other personnel such as pharmacists and medical students and a whole range of retired people to assist with this.
The fate of the economy rests on the success of the vaccine program. Air carriers are starting to boost domestic capacity, but Qantas boss Alan Joyce says business can't fire with international borders closed.
We know other countries are going to go ahead of us. We're seeing other countries already starting to open up. And I think there's a real danger to our economy, to our tourism, to our business traffic, that we are laggards here and fall behind the rest of the world.
But even the most successful vaccination program here is unlikely to offer a permanent solution. Any major outbreak around the world significantly increases the risk the virus will mutate, spread, and break through our vaccine defences. A study in Brazil, where COVID has been running rampant, suggests the Brazil variant is twice as infectious and now more vaccine resistant as well.
The global supply of COVID-19 vaccines is far short of what we actually need to meet demand.
Dr. Deborah Gleeson is an associate professor of public health at La Trobe University. She says the only way to turn the tide on the rapidly evolving variants is for the drug companies producing vaccines to release the intellectual property, the vaccine blueprints, for all nations to use at once. Since India and South Africa took such a proposal to the World Trade Organization last year, more than 100 of the 164 member nations have supported it.
But some major developed countries, including the United States, the European Union, Japan, Canada, Switzerland, Norway and Australia have been blocking this wave of proposal from being accepted.
So are we then prioritising profits for drug companies over the world's ability to actually beat coronavirus?
I think that essentially we are at the moment. Pfizer and Moderna have indicated that they expect to generate $15 billion US and $18.4 billion in revenue, respectively, in 2021.
Hoping to pressure the government, the Public Health Association is now preparing an open letter signed by leading academics,
calling on the Australian government to support this waiver of intellectual property rights at the World Trade Organization.
So far, there's little appetite here or amongst other wealthy countries to change course.
David Lipson with that report.